research audiences, editing books, and reaching numerous cross-sectional audiences around many distinct social challenges. The results have been outstanding, as I have a reputation in oral health in the United States and abroad, in addressing the social determinants of health, criminal justice reform, and many other long-standing issues where discrimination has been rampant. Ultimately, USC was forced to open the doors by one African-American woman, me, and my hope is that African-American women and others will recognize all the other doors that are still wedged closed against them and will move forward anyway. This narrative will provide insight into what is possible if we believe and are committed to social justice. I should add that one does not have to be a person of color to bring about significant change, and my hope is that others from other communities will see as their responsibilities to open the door for little Black women such as me, so we can shape the world. Introduction. Till the Morning Comes. On September 11, 1963, I had no concerns when I arrived at the University of South Carolina, USC, to register for classes. Nearly a year earlier, my family and I had filed a lawsuit in federal court when my application to USC had been rejected on the basis of the color of my skin, as openly acknowledged by the university administrators. The issue of whether I would be permitted to attend was resolved on July 10, 1963, when the U.S. District Court ordered that I was to be admitted for the fall semester. I arrived on campus for registration with my attorneys, Matthew Perry and Ernest Finney. My mother rode with my Aunt Martha and her husband, Dr. Henry D. Monteith, alongside in a separate vehicle, to where I was to be registered. I had no fear. I saw hordes of people, cameras, law enforcement, no sense of a community of color of those for whom I was making that walk to the registrar's office. I was told by observers that my eyes were everywhere. It is probably a personal trait, but I had no fear. I did not and could not think of the other indignities, atrocities, and marginalization of so many issues that would not be resolved on that single day. My sense was that, although I was young, you can kill my act, that is, walking on the strange and unknown ground, but you cannot kill my intent. And on that day, I had a job to do, and I had no fear. I grew up understanding that there was a problem, a race problem, and a segregation problem, and accepting the fact that my family fought against it. My family, particularly my mother and Aunt Modjeska, instilled in me an understanding that something needed to be done. The fight to desegregate USC was, as I would recount years later, a natural decision, one that I had, in a sense, been raised for that moment. It was a role I could play in the civil rights struggle. It was my turn. Issued by Judge J. Robert Martin, Jr. in Civil Action No. AC-1005, Columbia Division, on July 10, 1963, the judgment that ordered USC to open its doors was, in many ways, anticlimactic, as I had been immersed in the currents leading toward civil justice. The judgment was welcomed, although I was never sure of what the decision might be. The entry was an uphill battle against the old order and the coming new age of justice and equality. The materials presented in the court hearing bear witness of how adamant individuals in the legislative sector were to maintain racial purity in the population at USC. Regardless of the continual legal machination, the court ordered that I be admitted to the university. A prelude to the work to ensure civil justice. The doors to USC opened, but not from the inside. It was my class action court case that pushed the door open from the outside. Once I was on campus, the atmosphere was not welcoming. As determined as people had been to keep me out, some redoubled their determination to push me, a woman, right back out the door. How would you feel if dynamite was thrown in the front yard of your relative's home, as it was at the home of my aunt and uncle only 1 month before I took those first steps at the university? Imagine being a teenage girl who just wants to go to class, and your family gets a threat like that. Imagine getting repeated harassing phone calls in the dorm. Imagine classmates refusing to be your lab partner in front of the professor.